WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Election Day is exactly 2 weeks away, and the candidates are on a battleground blitz. Kamala Harris campaigned with former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney in three crucial blue wall states. Cheney trying to sway Wisconsin voters who went for Nikki Haley in the primaries.
We have the choice of somebody in Vice President Harris who you know is going to uphold the rule of law. You know that she's going to lead this country with a sincere heart.
Donald Trump was in North Carolina repeating false claims about FEMA using disaster relief money for Hurricane Helene on immigrants.
I'm with you. And the American people are with you all the way. We're going to continue to be with you. We'll see what happens with the election.
In the Middle East, sirens after Hezbollah launched a barrage of rockets into central Israel ahead of Secretary of State Antony Blinken's arrival this morning. The BBC's Tom Bateman is there.
This trip was rushed together in the hours after Israel killed the Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, when the Biden administration saw a chance to revive the diplomacy. The chances of any immediate progress appear close to nil.
Police southeast of Seattle have taken a teenager into custody after they found five people shot to death inside a home in Fall City.
Now, this is a significant event for this neighborhood, and I'd call it a significant event for the region.
He says two of the victims were adults, three young teenagers. A TV show host and a best-selling author have gone to bat for a Texas death row inmate who's gotten a temporary reprieve in the death of his two-year-old daughter. Reporter Chris Fox has details from Austin.
TV's Dr. Phil called to testify before a Texas House committee. He didn't think a crime even occurred.
The cause of death in this case is more probable from medical complications than abuse.
Author John Grisham, who works with the Innocence Project, testified the courts ignored evidence.
Nikki did not die because she was shaken to death by anyone. She died because of viral pneumonia, and we can prove that.
Jailed Hollywood movie producer Harvey Weinstein's reportedly been diagnosed with a rare form of bone marrow cancer a month after he was indicted on a new sex crime charge in New York. President Biden's honored the arts.
E.T. Phone home.
E.T.'s creator Steven Spielberg, Spike Lee, and Ken Burns among this year's Medal of Arts and Humanities recipients.
You have broken barriers. You blaze new trails. You redefined culture.
Also honored. Missy Elliott, Queen Latifah, and historian John Meacham. S&P futures are down 15. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is taking her message to Republicans and independent voters in Wisconsin. The vice president held an event in Brookfield Monday night. She appeared with Republican former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and conservative commentator Charlie Sykes. Both have endorsed the Democrat. They say Donald Trump is too dangerous. A public school administrator in Northwest Wisconsin is in big trouble with the law. Here's James Kelly.
Former Glenwood City School District Superintendent Tim Johnson is facing 17 felony charges, including theft, money laundering, forgery, and misconduct of office. He's accused of taking over $90,000 through his position as superintendent and not completing university classes for which he was given over $200,000. Johnson stepped down from his Chippewa Falls HR position earlier this year. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
NBA basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NBA regular season begins tonight in Boston with the Celtics against the New York Knicks. The Bucks are headed to Philadelphia to face the 76ers in their season opener tomorrow. Word is Chris Middleton will not play, still recovering from surgery on both of his ankles. Baseball, game one of the World Series, not until Friday night when the Dodgers host the Yankees. The last time the two teams competed in the Fall Classic was 1981. The Brewers making changes to their coaching staff. Al LaBeouf and Eric Tyson have been been promoted to hitting coaches, Ozzie Timmons is out after three seasons with the team. College football, the Badgers with a night game this week. They host number 3-ranked Penn State Saturday night. The Packers are in Jacksonville Sunday against the Jaguars. Kenny Clark on how they move defensive end Rashawn Gary against the Texans, sometimes over the center.
Yeah, it opened up a lot. Just allowing him to get on the move, you know, get in the A's and B gaps, you know, so he can use his ability. It was used for us, and he had a lot of pressures off of it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon with a sprinkle or two possible by later today. Our high 72 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, 42 tomorrow, sunny 53 by Thursday, partly cloudy with a high back up to 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, early voting starts in Wisconsin. Trump says all the geese are missing. Louisiana's Ten Commandments goes to court. Plus, overtime with Maggie Dawn. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabba.
That's what I do. That is how I roll. Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight on this Monday edition. We are broadcasting live statewide over our gorgeous state of Wisconsin and from downtown Green Bay here at City Deck Landing on a gorgeous night. And we have Tim Cody will be here at 7:20. He is in charge of the Veterans Council here in the Fox Valley and a retired colonel in the U.S. Army. He's got great stories and his bio is incredible. I'm very excited to talk to Tim at 7:20. And I know, Conrad, you were really interested in enlisting in the Army after the show, so he's got all your information. He'll be contacting you. So you just have to figure out if you want to go paratrooper or special forces. I think you got this, buddy.
I don't know if I believe in myself.
That's the spirit. All right. I'm very excited. We had on Friday... Terry Barr was here for Bar Band Friday night. We had a great artist that Terry featured called Deandra Marie. She was here in spirit. Her music was here. And I just found out we've got Deandra on the show Wednesday at 7:20. So that'll be fun. She'll be in studio performing some of her music for us. And we'll have a discussion about her career, which will be fun. I love having in studio performers. You know, you've never offered to play in studio once, Conrad.
I mean, I'm ready for it.
Okay. What do you play? What do you got, a banjo? The jug?
I can play like YouTube.
Okay. Oh, that'd be sweet. We haven't done that in a while. Okay.
All the songs will come off YouTube by artists I know, and I will do no performing at all.
There's no reason to get fancy. That's fine. I totally approve of that. Our question tonight is, if you could go back to the future, where would you go? Assuming you could go anywhere. To a place, a time, let us know. The question is pretty wide open, and you can have some fun and have a little escape in your brain while you're listening to the show. Sherry says, hi, Pete and Conrad, with her usual emojis. Emojis. Hello, Sherry. Great to have you with us, as usual. And then Sherry sent, what is that, a bear? Is that like a teddy bear waving?
I think that is a red fox.
Oh, get it? Red fox, like Sanford and Son, that music. I accuse you of playing too
I don't
much.
Even know if that is a red fox. I just took a guess.
That works. Or Tony the Tiger. It's like if a red fox and Tony the Tiger had a kid. That's what Sherry sent via emoji. Anna in the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Your question tonight reminds me of the Owen Wilson movie, Midnight in Paris, when he went back in time with cultural heroes. Now, we talked about this, Conrad. I haven't seen that movie.
I love that movie. It's a great movie.
I was on an Owen Wilson kick early in his career, and then I kind of needed a break because he was doing some bad movies. And I think I just lumped that in or just assumed, I knew very little about it. So I'll have to check that out. Midnight in Paris. Thank you, Anna. Jim from Appleton says, the 1950s for me when Ike was president. We were building the interstate highway system. We were transitioning from big band and crooners to rock and roll. Old drinks, our epic and inventive bartenders were coming up with new great ones every week. I won't go into corporations and the wealthy paying their fair share to help build the interstate. Okay, I can live with that, Jim. That's a pretty good answer. Not unlike Jameson's answer. We seem to miss the gin joints and the old booze. That's where I would go. I would go back to like where you could go to a speakeasy. Like when you knock on a door in an alley and a bouncer says password or whatever, and you just say shave and a haircut and they let you in and you got a drink. It's great. I think that would be really fun. And even if it wasn't prohibition, if just going back to the jazz clubs, I think would be really fun. That's probably where I would go. Maybe go to LA before they had all the crazy freeways when they were just starting to build the interstates. Cause I like living there, but it is crazy with all the driving. And it always made me want to go there when there was fewer interstates and it was still just a beachside town. And I don't know, like, I'm kind of a hypocrite though, cause I say that and driving from Marinette to Green Bay every day, I am very thankful for the bypass around Oconee. It saves me about 10 minutes. So I like the idea of things being simpler, but not the actual execution. It is fun to have interstates. Steve in Florida says, if I could go back to the future, I would like to go back to 1865 when my great-great-great-grandfather came to America from Germany. Would like to have a nice conversation to learn more and thank the man who literally paved the way for me and my family. Conrad, thoughts? That's a very nice text.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome to see what their thoughts were when they first came over.
You know, did you ever, like, I've thought about that over the years. Like, I'd love to meet my great-grandfathers and my great-great-grandfathers, but I wouldn't. I'd like to have a conversation where they kind of understand our generation. I feel like if I talk to them now, they just look at me and shake their heads. Why didn't you go to military school? Why don't you dress? Why don't you wear a tie when you go out? Why didn't you do, you know what I mean? Like that was their world.
Yeah.
So I mean, it would be fun to talk to them, but it would probably, there'd probably be a couple generation gap there.
We'd have them watch a video of everything that happened between now.
There you go.
From then until now.
Exactly.
And then you can have a conversation.
But it would be cool. I mean, it'd be very cool to have a conversation with an older relative who migrated here, like first generation. I agree with your dad. That would be really sweet. Tyler from Columbia County. Hey, Tyler. He says, Conrad could join the communications battalion. All right, we'll ask Tim that. I don't even know if that's a thing.
There we go.
Conrad. Hello, this is Conrad and your communications battalion. Where can I direct your call? I'll be a switchboard operator. I wouldn't mind that. Carla, Aunt Carla checks in from Baraboo and says, Uncle Jim would like to be back in 1967. Interesting. Carla says, I agree with Brother Steve. Why 1967, Carla? Fill us in. Was that the summer of love? Maybe Jim's a hippie or something and learned how to smoke wacky tobacco.
I don't know. Maybe.
What do you know about your Uncle Jim? No, I mean, that. Honestly, that was probably, you know, anytime after the Kennedy assassination, I feel like would be tumultuous. But I feel like the 50s would have been fun, even the 40s, post-World War II. A lot of people, like my kids say the 80s, when I was in high school, would be equated to the 50s because it was a little more carefree. And it was, but you still had the Cold War. It wasn't totally, I don't know. I feel like the 50s would have been a time where there was just nothing. And that's probably why Back to the Future, why that's such a fun time to go back to. The Second World War was done. We had a new outlook on life. The interstates were being built.
Would you like to go back to like when the Wild West, like in Back to the Future 3? I wouldn't want to go back there.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
I don't. And if I did, I wouldn't go to the Wild West. If I was alive back then, I think I'd probably stay in the East Coast or in a city or something, you know?
Yeah, not. I think what? They're in what? Somewhere in Arizona or something like that?
In the movie?
Yeah. I don't remember. I can't remember where they were actually.
All my knowledge of heading west stems from the Matthew Perry, Chris Farley film. Was that where they hit the Oregon Trail? Yeah, I don't need to go to the Old West, but that time might have been interesting. Although I'd like some modern conveniences. Like even in the 50s, you had like cool cars, cool suits,
yeah.
You know, You
go to the Wild West, but you take a car with you.
Exactly. I'd wear a suit. Yeah. And they'd kill me. Sherry says she'd go back to 1972. Interesting. How come, Sherry? Let us know. Speaking of Back to the Future, we've got some clips. You picked out some doozies there. Why don't you play, which one do you want to play first?
Maybe we go out with the Johnny B. Goode clip, actually.
All right, so let's do that when we go out. Or are you saying now, if we start that now?
No, we can play, so I have a couple clips from all the movies. Right. Short clips. The first one's from the first Back to the Future.
First one.
When Marty meets his dad for the first time.
All right, let's do that one.
Hey, McFly! What do you think you're doing?
Biff.
Hey, I'm talking to you, McFly, you Irish bug.
Oh, hey, Biff. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, you got my homework finished, McFly?
Well, actually, I figured since it wasn't due till Monday...
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think, McFly.
Think. I gotta have time to recopy it.
You're not too early. I sleep in Sunday. Oh, McFly, your shoes are tied. Don't be so gullible, McFly. Okay. I don't want to see you in here again.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
He's so obnoxious. It's just hilarious. I cannot believe what a jerk he is. And it's hilarious.
Yeah. In all three movies, he plays like that same person. It's so funny.
I never understood why his career didn't take off more. He's in a film called April Fool's Day, and he's funny in it. It's a scary movie, but it's also funny. And Biff is in it, and he does a really good job. All right, what do you got from part two?
So this is when Marty meets his son because he's trying to stop him from doing the bank robbery.
All right, okay.
Pepsi.
Hey, McFly! You to stay in here.
Griff, guys, how's it going?
McFly!
Yeah?
Have you made a decision about tonight's opportunity?
Yeah, Griff. You know, I was thinking about it. I'm not sure because I just think, you know, it might be a little bit dangerous.
Wrong answer, McFly! Keep pedaling, you two! Now! Let's hear the right answer. Well, since when did you become the physical type?
The answer's no, Griff.
No?
Yeah, what are you, deaf and stupid? I said no.
Of course, Griff and Griff is Biff's son.
Yes.
And Marty is, he's Marty. All right. And then take us out to break with a little Chuck Berry. It's Chuck Berry's birthday. This happens at a perfect time because Back to the Future, it's the anniversary of Back to the Future Part 2 today. So take us to the break. We'll be right back with Tim Cote here on Nightlight. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Money and politics watchdog Open Secrets reports that online advertising and a website popped up in early October pretending to be a pro-Harris political action committee. It's actually backed by a pro-Trump dark money group, which has raised and spent over $100 million in the last 4 years, funded in part by Elon Musk. Using the name Progress 2028, dark money group Building America's Future began pumping money into social media and digital ads in early October. The ads and website list distorted policy positions for Harris, such as expanding Medicaid to undocumented immigrants, and a national mandatory buyback program means fewer guns and fewer tragedies. Open Secrets reports that Building America's Future was linked to another euphemistically named group, Citizens for Sanity, attempting to peel off black men and Muslims from the Democratic Party through issue ads and by supporting third-party candidates. Musk earlier gave $50 million to support that effort, according to the Wall Street Journal. Under current campaign finance rules, weakened by the U.S. Supreme Court, Building America's Future doesn't have to report most of these recent expenditures until after the election and won't be required to disclose its donors. We've linked to the Open Secrets story and all of its supporting research and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them on. When you're feeling blue.
Welcome back. So, Aunt Carla, we got some clarification. She said, so Uncle Jim could buy his 1967 Plymouth Barracuda hot rod for new. That's how your uncle is picking the time he wants to go back so he can buy the car new as opposed to used. You gotta love that dedication. Sherry says, no, 68. Then I could go to Woodstock. Okay. Sherry's way too young to be going to Woodstock. Oh, that's why she wants to go back in time. Okay. Annie says, you never know. You never said whether we had to stay there or live with the consequences or could just stay there and do things over. Big diff. Love the phrase big diff, Annie. You don't have to stay there. I guess I could have clarified. You, that's the qualifier. You say you're just visiting or you want to stay. I'm fine either way. I think I'd probably want to visit. I don't hate our times enough to not want to live here permanently. So yeah, I'd probably go back and just visit. But Monica from Mount Horeb says, I go back in time to Mayfield and not take the ghost tour. Hope it's improved. Went on it probably a decade ago and it was a snooze fest. It was like a lot of ships sank, so there are probably some spirits there. And a teacher is buried here who died under mysterious circumstances. There was just no specificity. It was not the least bit scary or interesting. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm apologizing to Monica. I had nothing to do with that, Monica. But I'm sorry you didn't like it. And then Sherry from Oregon says, no, I was only four. Yeah, Woodstock probably would have been the same if you were only four. All right, keep those texts coming. Where would you want to go back to the future to? That's tonight's question, 855-752-4842. Right now, I'm excited to introduce my next guest who drove here all the way from the suburbs. He is in the studio. If you're watching on the stream, you can see Tim right now. His name is Tim Cody. He's a retired Army colonel, and he is the president of the Fox Valley Veterans Council. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to meet you. And I have to give a shout out because you were introduced to me by a guy named JB, who I call the guy behind the guy. I've never met JB in person, but he has referred several guests to the show. He's just a guy who makes things happen.
You need to meet JB.
Do I?
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of scared to now.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could show up. We got a bourbon club that happens down in Oshkosh
once a month.
And I get to talk at that a few times.
Yeah. After you drink bourbon or before?
While I'm drinking bourbon.
Oh, okay.
Usually I'm introducing bourbon.
Are they a receptive audience when you've been drinking bourbon?
Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, my last tour in the Army, I got to become a bourbon ambassador. So I got to.
Oh, that sounds like a
so
really
was awesome.
Sweet gig for
it was
an
a pretty
Army.
Sweet gig.
Really? That's a thing?
Well, it's a thing. You go to the distilleries and they can make you an ambassador and then get a nice little medal and get to walk around and kind of get into all these distilleries and bring some troops here and there to introduce them to the Wonderful World of Bourbon.
You were a hero, a military hero for a different kind than it sounds like. Tim, before we get into your Army career, I have many questions. And I reading your bio, I just felt like I have so much to ask you. But tell us first about the work you do at the Veterans Council in the Fox Valley.
Yeah, the Fox Valley Veterans Council is a 501c3 charity that helps veterans in need. So we have a few missions, but the one that is really monetarily where we need assistance all the time is to help veterans who are in these emergency problems. So about 65% of that funding is housing.
Oh, wow.
And then we do food. We do utilities, transportation, a lot of fixing of cars, you know, that are very needed for somebody that's the only vehicle they got. They got to get to work. The idea behind that whole program is, you know, we got these veterans. For some reason, they're down on their luck, right? And if we can hold them up for 2-3 months to fix their problem, that's kind of the idea that we do. So let's say you got PTSD or you have substance abuse, but you're getting ready to get booted out of your house. The last thing you're going to go to is your VA counselor for a PTSD meeting or a substance abuse because you're worried about not being able to sleep in a bed tomorrow night, right? So what we try to do is relieve that stressor from them. Let's say they're trying to get a job and their car broke down. You know, COVID really, really made the used car market terrible.
Yeah.
People were paying $20,000 for cars. They were paying $10,000 for the year.
Right.
So we've been repairing vehicles because they can't afford a used one, right? Mm-hmm. Dumping thousands of dollars into vehicles to get those up and running. And we got, you know, nice partners who work with us to assist us in getting them ready.
Aren't a lot of these guys, I assume, have families?
Oh, yeah. The full range. We've got young veterans. We've got older veterans. The full range that it runs. And, housing is our biggest need, but we do other things as well. We have a dental program with Tri County Dental, and we're going to expand that to do endodontics and teeth, false teeth, dentures. That's what I meant to say. Dentures with Tri County Dental, so that the veterans don't have to cover that. Well, a lot of people don't know is about 98% of veterans don't have a dental program because it's not covered, generally speaking.
Right.
You've got to have basically 100% disability to get a dental program.
Wow. I know that veteran suicide has been an issue over the years. Has that gotten any better or has that gotten worse? And what can a group like yours do? Do you have therapists that help and intervene in that kind of thing?
It had been getting better, actually. It had been getting better till COVID hit, and then it's now started to get worse again. Mm. We don't have any personal therapist, but what we can do is, one, we hopefully relieve that financial stress that's occurring. And then one of the other major things that our caseworkers will do is they will connect our veterans. They will do warm connections, handoffs to where these veterans need their assistance, whether it is mental health or substance abuse or financial counseling or just peer groups or just talking to somebody who they can connect with.
Okay. How do you feel? You know what? I'm going to save this question. How are we doing on time, Conrad? All right, we got about a minute before we have to go to a break, and we'll talk more after that. But do you feel, in general, veterans are pretty well supported in this country, or do we have a long way to go?
No, I think in general we are. I mean, I've lived all over the world, and I know a lot of people say, you know, kind of like want to shit on the VA and stuff like that. Excuse my French, but, you know. But, you know, I've lived all over, and our country does a pretty good job, particularly after their experience Vietnam and how that was treated, and the nation, I think, woke up and realized that was really a disservice.
Right.
I still see it with our Vietnam veterans. They have that scar with them.
Yeah.
And I would say that most of our veterans, and I grew up, I was commissioned in 1987. And since that time, I've never felt devalued as a veteran.
Let's pick up right there, Tim, when we come back. We're going to do some news here from Civic Media's award-winning news team. We'll be back for more with the president of the Veterans Council here in the Fox Valley, retired Colonel Tim Cody.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tappel Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News Brief. The election's now 14 days away, and Donald Trump stumped in North Carolina, repeating false claims FEMA spent hurricane relief money on immigrants instead.
Our country is being crippled and destroyed by Kamala Harris. Kamala.
The vice president got help from former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney in Wisconsin.
We might not agree on every issue, but she is somebody that you can trust and someone that our children can look up to.
In Tel Aviv. Warning sirens after Hezbollah launched rockets into central Israel ahead of Secretary of State Blinken's arrival this morning. Neighbors in Fall City, Washington, shocked after police say they found two adults and three young teenagers shot to death.
We've gotten to know some of the kids that unfortunately lived at the home, and, you know, the younger kids, especially the sweetest children. It's unfathomable.
A teenager has been taken into custody. No word on their ID. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A man accused with the brutal sexual assault of a UW-Madison student back in 2023 is pleading guilty. 27-year-old Brandon Thompson was charged with first-degree sexual assault, first-degree reckless injury, and strangulation for the attack. While the victim survived, she suffered traumatic brain injury and a broken jaw. Thompson will be sentenced in February. Suicide trends in Wisconsin are troubling. Brittany Merlot reports on numbers from the Department of Health Services.
Suicide rates have been on the rise in Wisconsin since 2019. And as of 2022, they found that over 50% of suicides in the state had to do with either relationship issues or physical health problems, and older men in rural areas were at the highest risk. They also found that over 16% of adult suicides in the state were veterans. I'm Brittany Merlot.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After months of speculation, it's been confirmed that Succession's Jeremy Strong has been cast in the Bruce Springsteen biopic, Deliver Me From Nowhere. Strong will play Springsteen's manager, John Landau. The Emmy-winning actor is fresh off his appearance in The Apprentice as Roy Cohn. Deliver Me focuses on the time in Springsteen's career where he made his award-winning album, Nebraska. The Bears' Jeremy Allen White has been cast as the boss. The album Nebraska was a bit of a departure as Springsteen's fame as a pop star was starting to skyrocket. The record is ranked 150 on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Albums Ever list. Esquire has called Nebraska one of the most honest and emotional albums in history. Fun fact, Jeremy Strong revealed that it's also his favorite Springsteen album. Deliver Me From Nowhere has an anticipated release of sometime in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon with a sprinkle or two possible by later today. Our high 72 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, 42 tomorrow, sunny 53 by Thursday, partly cloudy with a high back up to 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my Tuesday co-host Sandy Williams will be here to catch up on all politics we missed over the weekend. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Tim Cote is my guest. We're talking some Bears Packers here. And you said you got to do extra security at Super Bowl 20 of the Bears locker room.
Yeah.
You got to talk to the fridge.
Yeah.
Must have been kind of cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Hey, isn't it funny how William Perry was, when he came out, he was 6'2", 310 pounds, and people thought he was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And now he'd be the smallest guy on the line. That's just insane. All right. Tim is here. He is the Veterans, Fox Valley Veterans Council president. I'll just call you El Presidente if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. So we were talking about whether or not you felt like veterans got enough support typically. And you said it's gotten a lot better over the years. I can't think of one person who doesn't at least verbally support veterans, whether they give money, which would be nice too, is a different story. But
yeah, I mean, I think overall, and like I said, I've gone throughout the world, and I think the United States is one of the top countries in supporting veterans. But on the other hand, we also have the largest military in the world, and we're out there all the time in conflicts that other countries would never bother to go to. So, you know, could there be more that's done? Sure, there could. But I think we're on the right way, and I think generally speaking, our communities, our government generally supports us. You know, it's always hard to try to predict what you're going to need. I mean, you know, the VA never thought or dreamt that we'd have all these folks coming back from wars surviving their legs blown off.
Right.
They just never thought that, right?
That's interesting, yeah.
You know, those folks would die. Well, that's a great thing that they survived, but who's got to
take
we gotta
care of
pay
them
the bill,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Right? You know, and so those are things that people don't think about. You just don't predict that, and then next thing you know, your bill to take care of veterans triples in, you know, 10 years.
So tell us a little bit about how you... Was your dad in the military?
My dad was a Navy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you decide... When did you decide, this is what I'm doing, this is my path?
Yeah. Well, I always... As a kid, I always... You know, I played soldier. I had my little toy soldier dudes all the time. So, right. I mean, that was kind of always in my blood. I had actually gone down to school at Loyola University in New Orleans. And kind of had it out a little bit with my parents. And I was going to play some sports and get some... they didn't have scholarships. It's a small school, but you could get student aid and stuff if you did that. That wasn't going to work out. So my parents were like, well, you got to come home. I didn't want to come home. So luckily my roommate was in ROTC and I kind of studied my butt off, got good grades, and I got an ROTC scholarship midway through school.
So that's how it started.
That's how it started.
In college, and then the natural progress. You have to serve anyway. I mean, when you're done.
Yeah.
So how old were you? Because, Nick, I saw in your bio you went to Desert Storm in the early 90s.
Right, yeah.
So was that a wake? You must have been like, was that a surprise to you? Like, here you are, and you're going to combat.
Well, no. I mean, I got commissioned in 87, so it was three years after I got commissioned. The Army said, hey, you want to go to law school? So, yeah, I went to law school. Probably about, I don't know, few months right after I got out of law school and back into service, you know, Saddam Hussein decided to cross into Kuwait. And so pretty quickly, you know, I was deployed with the 82nd Airborne Division as a speed bump.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
You know, the 82nd Airborne Division is a light airborne division. We don't have any, when you go over there so fast, the only thing you have are people.
Okay.
Right. So you get a battalion over there and then you get a brigade over there and then multiple brigades over there. But you're facing it was, I think, the number four sized army in the world at
right.
the time, full of armor.
Right.
Right. If they decided to cross right then and there, we would have been
a speed bump.
Right. That's what you would have taken out as many. But, you know, also. That would have been a huge deal.
Right.
If all of a sudden you decide to take on a U.S. unit right then and there. Right.
Sure.
And, you know, probably the world would have come down harder and faster than it eventually did. But, you know, that's what you kind of were there.
That doesn't really help you out.
That doesn't really help you out. But, I mean, you knew what you were there for.
Yeah.
You were there to be the flag and to be the, if you cross this line, you're in trouble.
When did you know you wanted to jump out of planes?
From the very, very beginning.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I went, actually, as a cadet, I went to airborne school.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I haven't even been on active duty yet, and I got to go to airborne school. So that was awesome.
You must have had other options like crochet or computers. you chose to jump out of airplane. I remember when I was about that age, I was like, I have to skydive. I have to jump out of an airplane. Not in the military, but just to do it. And literally within a year, I was like, I'm never doing that. I don't know what the heck I was thinking. Did you ever have that moment where you're like, what am I doing? I'm about to jump out of an airplane.
No. I mean, I was always leaning forward in that area. I mean, yeah. So initially I was going to be an infantry officer and special forces trooper and all this other stuff. And, I was all ready to go and do that. I love jumping out of airplanes. It is a great thrill. I mean, I got to go to their jump master course and become a jump master. So I got to do that. And, you know, when I got my law degree, I thought, I actually didn't really understand what was happening when the Army said, yeah, you can go to law school. I just thought I'd have a law degree, and in case the Army didn't work out, I could do something.
Right.
But in the middle of law school, they branch transferred me into the JAG Corps out of combat arms.
Huh.
So for about 6 months, I was really depressed because that wasn't really my plan. Okay. My plan was, you know, I wanted to be a platoon leader and go out and do all this stuff. And now all of a sudden, I'm a judge advocate general in the Army instead of, you know, a combat leader. But I immediately got into the 82nd Airborne Division and spent a lot of time with airborne units and special ops units as an attorney, because I had my wings and I'd done that, and I love doing that stuff. I love those guys; are great clients, you know. I love doing it. You got to do everything with them, right?
Yeah,
I got to do everything with them.
So, how many planes would you say you've jumped out of in your career, if you had to guess? We talk.
Well, the planes would be less than the jumps, because sometimes you jump out of the same airplane. But I did 157 jumps.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
And by the 150th, let's say, are you playing solitaire on your phone? Is it just routine?
I'm trying to remember how many when I got through jump master school and got to be a jump master. It was so much better because I got to go through at First Special Forces Group when I was stationed with them, and they do what's called a ground marker release system versus a computer assisted release system, where the jump master gets to control when you're throwing people out of the airplane. You're hanging out the airplane. You're picking the spots on the drop zone, and you're getting to do all that stuff. And you're checking everybody's rig. And so you're doing stuff all the time. And the nicest thing about this is you're not rigged up. So everybody else is rigged up, and they could be rigged up in an airplane for hours, right? You've got your 75-pound ruck. You've got your harness on. You're squeezed in there like sardines, and you're a jump master. You're unrigged initially. You're going through, checking everybody's stuff up. You're moving around, so you're not in that pain where, oh, I won't be able to jump for 3 hours, but I really got to go to the bathroom. So, I mean, that was cool. I really love being able to do that. You know, the scariest thing was, could I do what they call a pop-out, where you hang out the door, and it's kind of pop your elbows out, and the wing catches you, and then your arms lock as you're hanging on the handles, and then you're hanging all the way outside the airplane as you're looking down, out the drop zone.
But you're rigged.
At that point in time, you are rigged. Yeah, at that point in time, you are hooked up.
Okay.
Yeah, in case you slip, you fall, the wind catches you, or whatever, you do something stupid, and you get sucked out. Yeah, you're hooked up on a static line. But I, you know, that was great. I mean, I got to, you know, jump. I got to jump master all kinds of airplanes. I got to do helos, helicopters, all different kinds like that. That was awesome. I even got to do an old DC-3, which is a World War II version that the North Carolina National Forest Service used to firefighting. And so they would come in, and they would land on Fort Bragg on Sicily drop zone, which is a big, big, big drop zone. And they'd land in there and do what they call hot loads, where you come in, the engines would be going, everybody would run in there, and now you're jumping, and they go up and they drop you, and then they come land and pick you up again and do it again. It's what we call chasing jumps, because you want to get your numbers up so you can go to jump master school and get your stuff like that. Or let's say you hadn't jumped in a year and you need 4 jumps to maintain your jump pay. And you only got one day to do it, so you do 4 of them right there in a day.
I saw on your bio, too, my guest is Tim Cody. He is the president of the Fox Valley Veterans Council. And we'll talk about a big event you have coming up soon, too. But Tim is here in the studio. We're kind of getting to know each other here. And he became a lawyer while he was jumping out of airplanes. talk about that a little bit. You said in your bio you would be jumping and you have extra weight because you had law books. What's the deal there? Or was that a joke? Or?
No. I mean, so, you know, I started before the internet.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, what everyone's like, why is an attorney jumping with a bunch of airborne paratroopers? Well, I was in what's called the Assault CP, which is Assault Command Post. So when the general jumps out, or a colonel, depends on what level you're at. But I was the operational law attorney for the 82nd Airborne Division, which meant I was the CG's attorney on the ground the minute we jumped out of an airplane, which was really cool because I was a stupid young 24-year-old and didn't know how serious that was. So I wasn't I wasn't nervous that I was advising, you know, a 2-star general, you know, who'd been to West Point and made his way through. But, you know, in those days, what you did is you had to take all your books. And so, you know, I'd spent hours, believe it or not, on copy machines, miniaturizing what I thought would be needed documents and sources to take with me. But, you know, still, you're loading up your ruck with all these things other than your basic load. You got your basic load.
Yeah.
Right. And then I need to put all that stuff in there, too, because it was before the internet. You know, we didn't have any computers, didn't have any of that stuff. So, you know, I'm pulling out these little books. They got treaties in them, you know, they got all the stuff that we need to worry about, you know, and so that was a lot of preparation. You know, you're doing a lot of studying. What do I need to download? What do I need to take and miniaturize? How do I do this? You know, you're working with your clerks to just get these things all miniaturized and set ready to go. And then once you build that packet, you kind of take it with you. You change it depending on what country you're going to and stuff like that, because you have different treaties and stuff that you were worried about. But
Was it hard to turn the pages on the way down to the ground?
Yeah, well, the wind, you know, usually I just use that, you know, I put it down there between my legs so that I wouldn't get shot, right? Then stop the bullets.
Your readers. is Conrad too old for active duty? What do you think he can?
I don't know. How old are you, Conrad?
I'm 25.
Oh, no, we got plenty of time for him.
Listen, you can do this, man. I do it with you, but I'm too old. So, all right. So let's talk about this big event you have coming up, March 7th.
Yep.
It's a fundraiser, right?
Yeah.
How can people help?
So we get our money through lots of ways, grants, but mostly donations.
Okay.
And luckily for many years, most of the events where we get money, somebody has put that event on for us, which is great because I don't have a lot of people.
Okay.
When putting an event on takes a lot of effort and time, right?
Right.
But I did learn one thing is that, you know, people will put an event on for you as long as you're their choice of a charity. And you don't really have a choice not to be that choice of the charity the next year. So if you're not, you know, that favorite color of the month coming up, then, you know, it's just they go, you know. And it's nothing against any of those organizations. It's just you like to create these long-term relationships, and eventually they'll go away. You'll get changes in corporation heads. You know, you'll get, you know, they want to work for another charity. And now you got to go find that money again. So that always made me nervous.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right? So I thought, well, we need to create some fundraiser that will at least soften that blow. So last year was the first year we did it. It's was called the Veterans Prohibition Ball. It was in Venue 404 down at Oshkosh. People don't know what that is. That's an old 1920s bank in downtown Oshkosh, where Johnny Depp's Public Enemy was filmed, right? So the theme is a prohibition. Perfect, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just a great venue down there. And the theme is you dress up like somebody in the prohibition, black tie or gangster.
Oh,
or
nice.
And, you know, it was a great event. We really try to make it just one of those events where the ticket is what raises the money. And we try not to ask any money from you at the event so that you get this whole feeling like you're going into a speakeasy. And we've got swing bands, we've got casino tables, there's a vault bar downstairs for VIP people to go into, and then your standard tickets have a bar upstairs. The ticket gets you all you can eat and all you can drink. And so, you know, I really encourage people to think about that. March 7th's a great time. You know, you're getting tired of the winter, but, you know, it really still is here.
Yeah.
It still is here. But it'll give you something to do.
Hey, it's still summer here, so maybe the world, maybe Wisconsin, the sun is shining down on us finally. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to ask Tim what his favorite military movies are, and I appreciate you working movies into the conversation with Public Enemies. Tim Cote is here. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy, and I'm going to use a quote to kick off today's Work Money Minute. Comparison is the thief of joy. That fancy quote comes from everybody's favorite 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt. It calls out one of the most common problems that you and me and everybody we know sometimes has about their money. It is envy. You know, whether it's something you see in real life or something you see as you're scrolling on Facebook or Instagram, envy is really hard to turn off. And you know how when you feel it, it just makes everything else around you seem yuckier? Well, here's what I do. A, I give myself a break. It's normal and human to feel envy. B, I say, Carrie Joy, don't believe the hype. You know real life is more complicated than what you're looking at. And C, I stop scrolling for a little bit. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, we have Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's their entertainment reporter. We'll talk about some movies and TV with Chris. He's always fun to talk to about the entertainment business. And I will be here personally to see Conrad sign the documents. I don't know why I get a kick out of it. It's because, you know, we're all at that age. You're probably a little past it, Conrad, but I still had to register for the draft when I was in high school. Yeah. And that's, as a joke, we would sign our friends up and we'd submit the cards. You know, I don't know if anybody ever got drafted that way, but... Kind of a jerk move when you think about it. Tim Cody is here. He is the president of the Fox Valley Veterans Council and a retired Army colonel who jumped out of a plane 157 times, and he's here to tell us about it, and it's fascinating stuff. They have a big event coming up on March 7th. Tim, you did a great job explaining the event. Where can people either donate or buy tickets or find out more information about the event?
Yeah, we don't have the live tickets yet, but okay. Our website is www.foxvalleyveterans.org.
Okay.
We've got the save the date notices out, so March 7th. We'll be sending out, we'll be asking for sponsorships. So we have platinum sponsor for 10,000, gold sponsors for 7,500, silver sponsors.
Dollars?
For yep.
Holy smokes.
Yep.
So I was just about to jump in there until he said dollars.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. I wish you luck with the event. That's not. You'll have to come back when it gets a little closer and can do like a refresher thing. Yeah, yeah. For sure. All right. Now it's the moment of truth. I don't typically ask the hard questions on this show, but I'm going to ask you, Tim. What's your favorite military movie?
So I think that's going to have to be a split between Band of Brothers, which isn't a movie. That's a series.
Right, series, sure.
Now, all of a sudden, I get the Tom Hanks.
Private Ryan.
Those are my favorite. They're realistic.
Yeah.
You know, like anybody, I'm sure nurses and doctors can't stand to watch nurses and doctors movies.
Right.
Those are movies that I can watch. They're realistic. I mean, I hate the unlimited clip. I hate the 55 people dying with one person killing them. I like reasonable that show both the courage of soldiers, sailors, Marines, Air Force, but also the horror of battle, because yeah. We got a lot of troops who went through that. And, you know, that's something that marks and scars everybody who's ever been in combat. I mean, it's a different wars have different scars. But, you know, right. My last tour in Iraq in 2008, anybody and everybody could be in danger. I mean, I remember going to the chow hall and watching one of my captains go into the outhouse, and rockets came rolling in and blew up the outhouses.
Oh, my gosh.
Lucky God's grace, we turn around and we see Patrick sitting there on the throne with the outhouse blown away, and he wasn't even scratched.
Oh, my God.
You know? But, you know, other people
I did not think that's where that story was going.
But other people weren't so lucky. Yeah. You know, I had people in pickup trucks and cars just 200 yards away who were killed. You know, and that was on a base. You know, we'd go out on convoys and, you know, the roads blowing up underneath you, dead camels on the road are full of IEDs, trash cans are full of IEDs. Jeez. I mean, and then you're in the middle of cities and trying to figure out who's a bad guy and who's not a bad guy. And you're kind of in a no-win situation there. I mean, think about this. If I make the wrong decision one way, someone might get hurt on my team. If I make the wrong decision the other way, I may have just killed an innocent person. Now that's on my conscience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a lot of weight you're putting on young kids out there. I mean, it's a lot of weight.
Yeah. Wow. Know? And Conrad and I sit in here every night and complain about the loud mufflers that go by when we're trying to record stuff. So that's really, well, thank you for your service. And you must get such incredible, it must give you gratitude to be serving those who have served.
Sure.
I mean, is that like kind of a calling, or is it a job you really like, or both?
I can tell you, when I left the military, you know, I couldn't figure out why. Everyone said, "Are you retiring? Are you happy?" I'm like, "No, not really. I really loved. If I could be in, I'd probably be back in again. I mean, I got hip replacements, ankle replacements. I'm beat up. But I realized that, you know, I found something that was greater than me.
Yeah.
And to do that usually brings you a lot of fulfillment. I mean, it just really does. You know, I practiced for about 4 years in Appleton as a lawyer, and I built a practice and was getting bigger and better at it, and I just did not like it. I did not like it. So I got the opportunity to do this. I asked my wife, bless her soul, she's out here, you know.
I just met her. Yeah. Very nice.
And I said,
I don't think she likes me, no. But it doesn't matter.
I said, hey, you know, babe, could I, you know, leave the law practice and take on this job? You know, she's like, sure. I said, well, you haven't heard everything. I'm not going to get paid for it. So, you know, I said, it's all strictly volunteer. So, and she's let me do that for the last 4 years. So wow. That's awesome.
Well, it sounds like you're doing great work, Tim. Keep it up. And I'm sure the guys that are the recipients of all of your hard work are very thankful, too. So thanks so much for your continued service.
You're welcome.
And what do you think about Stripes?
I love Stripes. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Bill Murray's, you know, awesome. He's great.
Is that realistic in any way?
No.
All right. This has been fun. I'd like to thank all my guests tonight. Logan Rogge from Travel Wisconsin. Thank you, Logan. Thank you for all your texts. We'll have more fun tomorrow night. And thank you to Tim Cote for coming down to the studio tonight. And we'll have Tim back on before his event on March 7th. And if you want more information, one more time, the website about what the work you do over there.
www.foxvalleyveterans.org.
Okay. Outstanding. Tim, thanks so much. Great to have you.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great night, everybody. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Maggie Dawn.
Get out your notepaper and your pens and pencils, folks. I'm dropping all the voting tips and detailed logistics that you need to ensure that your vote counts this November 5th. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wear a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.